I tell you, one of the things that can be, oh, I guess very exciting and at the same time sometimes a bit nerve-wracking for people is when change is getting ready to take place, whether they're getting ready to take on a new job in the same city, a new job in a different city, they're getting ready to move and the children are going to be attending a different school, somebody's getting married, you name it. Missions work, I imagine, not that different. That people can be excited about what they're going to be doing, but maybe a little nervous, a little anxious about it as well. That said, Dr. Newell, I was wondering, what are some of the challenges that people face when they're doing missions work, even if some of it has to do with just learning that new culture and really how to connect with them?
Why, sure, Carl. Good question. And, you know, there are many challenges. We dare not paint a picture here that everything's rosy if you go on mission with Jesus. Jesus said many times to his followers, people will persecute you because of me. People will oppose you because of me. If they opposed me, they're going to oppose you. So we know that the challenges that are there are normal and need to be dealt with, and we need to go in with our eyes wide open. But here's a few that that we need to know about. First of all, the religious challenge. No matter where you go, people have a religion. They already believe something. I mean, even if an atheist is an atheist, they believe that that's right, and so that in itself is a belief system for them. So you're going to be up against someone who has already a different religious view than what the gospel message is. And so we need to be prepared to understand the religions that we go to, the people there. If we're going to a Muslim country, you need to study up on Islam. If you're going to a Buddhist country, you need to study on Buddhism and so far and so forth. My daughter and her husband are working 5 years now in Thailand, which is a very Buddhist country, 99% Buddhist. And it's a worldview that they don't even believe that there is a supreme being, that there is a God. So how do you present the gospel in a culture that people do not believe that there is a God? And so you must study up and learn about that as well. So the religious challenge is there. Also, the political challenge. In many countries of the world, message bearers or missionaries can go right on in and to witness and not have hardly any resistance at all. Like I just said, my daughter and family in Thailand, there's no problem with the government for them to be there. The government does not oppose that. But you try to go over to Indonesia or China or somewhere, and obviously there's going to be opposition from the government. And so you need to be very prudent, as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, to be as prudent as the snake, but as harmless as the dove, and understanding how to work the system so that you can perform the calling that God's given to you, even in what we call highly restricted countries. And then also, you know, we could name a few others, but there's the technological challenge. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when you go overseas anymore, a lot of people already have the technology that we have because it's so universal because of globalization. And so you're up against people who are on the internet all the time, and they're watching not good things on the internet as well as maybe helpful things on the internet. They have satellite television. They know the news of what's going on in the world probably sooner than you do if you're not there at the minute an event takes place. And so you've got people that are more informed than in the past, and so we need to be people that understand that and are that are savvy in that area so that we can relate with them too. They don't see us as just uninformed people as we go. So, you know, these are some of the challenges that are there. One of them, Carl, a lot in the news today about Islam and how the Islamists are out to destroy the church and to take over the world, and there's a lot of that going on. But we dare not get a picture of Islam only from CNN and Fox News, because that is just not a real true portrayal of what most Muslims are really like. They pick the most extreme incidences and then paint a picture to us that makes it like, well, I never want to leave the borders of the United States. It's too dangerous to even go, you know, anywhere overseas, where especially there's a lot of Muslims. And that's just not true. I lived 15 years in the country of Indonesia, which is a majority Muslim country, and I never felt threatened. The people there are eking out a living like everybody else, trying to make ends meet, and they believe what they believe, and some of them are resistant, obviously, but we shouldn't think that the whole world is in turmoil to the point that it stymates us from being willing to pick up and to go, and as Jesus says, to pick up our cross and to follow him.
You make such an excellent point there, because, you know, it's so interesting, Dr. Newell, that when we are watching the news, and maybe 95, 98% of the time that Muslims are being portrayed at all, they're being portrayed in a negative way. Once in a while, we might see an article that, like in North Carolina, we had some Muslims who were murdered when that man shot the gentleman and the two ladies in the head in the parking lot in North Carolina. But again, roughly 95% of the time, Muslims are being portrayed as being evil and overly aggressive. And it can be difficult to hear the other people who are on TV occasionally saying they don't represent all Muslims.
Yeah, and you know, we need to understand, Carl, this, that in this globalized world in which we live today, where there's mass migrations taking place, we're going to have more and more Muslim background people coming our direction, but at the same time, we dare not forget this. The church is also marching forward in their places where they are, because there's Christians that are going there and migrating to those areas as well. And so it's like there's this leveling of the playing field in both areas, where we're going to see more and more mosque here in America. We can't deny that that's going to take place, but you know what? We see more and more churches being planted in countries that formerly there was no church because the Muslims dominated that area and resisted it to such a degree that it was impossible to get started. Now, we see places like in Syria and among all those refugees, those Syrian refugees that have come out, and so many of them now opening up to the gospel of Jesus, and that's impacting, and it's going to be that way. So we can't take a look and see these big religious blocks anymore as being geographically in one defined location. Now we're going to see it spread. And our religion's being spread. Christianity is spreading as much as the other religions, and it's just the kind of world that we're living in. Everyone's going to be a neighbor to somebody who is of a different faith than themselves.
And so we have this to deal with, and to the extent that we have our hearts and minds open to it, we can probably respond to it better. I was wondering, Dr. Newell, you mentioned that when it comes to some of those challenges, some of the broader categories include the fact that we'll be working with people, talking with people who are internet informed, some who are sometimes we're going to go into places where there may be some religious opposition, in places where there may be political opposition. Specifically when it comes to political opposition. When we come back, could you share with us just some different approaches to dealing with political opposition?
Why, sure. We'll do that, Carl.
Great. You all stay with us, sharing insights with you when it comes to real-world missions work.